Today's daf is Chulin Daf Ches. We are holding at the very top of Daf Ches and Aleph. We finished the daf yesterday. So today's daf is all about knives that are used for shechita and the kashrus of knives in general. So the Gemara starts, Amar Abizeir Amar Shmuel, Libein Sakin V'Shachat Ba Shechita Zokshera. What if the knife you use for shechita, you first heat it up with fire, you put the knife in fire, made it very hot, and then you shecht with the knife. So Rabbi Zera says in the name of Shmuel that it's going to be kosher. Meaning, what's the issue? If you were to burn an animal's simanim, the beis hashchit of an animal, rather than cut it, so that would obviously not be a kosher shchita. You need to cut it. So what if you're using a boiling hot knife that you cut it with? What do we assume is happening? Do we assume that primarily the animal is being burnt, or do we assume primarily the animal is being cut? So Rabbi Zera paskins in the name of Shmuel, shchita sukshera. Apparently, the animal is being cut. Chiduda kodem lilibuna. We assume the sharpness of the knife is what gets the animal before the heat of the knife is what gets the animal. Frek the Gemara v'ha'ikat studin. But what about the sides of the knife? Granted, the sharpness is going to go through, but the sides of the knife are still going to be touching the simanim. And as you're slicing through the simanim, the sides of the knife are going to be burning away the parts of the simanim that you've already cut. And shouldn't it therefore make the animal a treifa by the time you cut rov simanim? Tosus points out, Mashma mikan shem b'shah shchita nikev aveshet keneged mashe shachat treifa. That it sounds from here that even the area that you've already shechted, if during the shchita there's a hole that comes in the simanim, in the part where you've already shechted, it's still going to make it a treifa. You don't say, I already shechted that anyway, so you can't undo what I've already done. That part has already been shechted. It can't be a treifa in that area. No, it still can be a treifa. If we don't have the Gemara's answer, which we'll see in a second, over here we're ready to say that it's usher because of the tzadin, because it's burning away those simanim. It's burning away the simanim that have already been cut, the parts of the simanim that have already been cut. As long as the rov simanim have not yet been cut while it's burning it, it sounds like it's going to be a major problem. So it answers the Gemara, why isn't it a problem? Beis hashchita mirvach ravach. When you start cutting, the beis hashchita, the simanim that you cut, spread apart from each other, where the sides of the knife actually don't touch any of the simanim. It's only the sharpness that hits the simanim, and as soon as it cuts it, it sort of spreads in different directions, and the knife continues down through the middle, so therefore you don't have to worry that the sides of the knife are burning away the simanim at all. Fine. Ibayiluhu. Libein shvud vihikabo mishum shchin nidon, mishum shchin nidon, or mishum michve nidon. Totally separate issue relating to tzara'as. The reason why we're bringing it in is because we think Rabbi Zera Amar Shmuel's din is going to help us answer this question about tzara'as. Now, just before we even get to the tzara'as issue, just an important point over here. This concept that beis hashchita mirvach ravach, that the beis hashchita widens, and therefore you don't have to worry about the heat of the knife making the animal a treifa, all the Rishonim ask that this seems to be against the Gemara that comes up later on in Daf Yud Zayin and Beis, where the Gemara says that when you check a knife for pegimos, when you check the shechita knife to make sure that it doesn't have any nicks in it, you need to check it betlas ruchos. Not only the edge of the knife, you need to check the sides of the knife as well. But wait a second. If the sides of the knife never touch the simanim and never affect the simanim, because it's mirvach ravach, it spreads out, why do you have to check the sides of the knife? There are four approaches in Rishonim to deal with this question, and it has a major effect on the halacha. Approach number one is the Bala Ma'or and the Ran, where they say, yeah, that's why the Rif left out this psak of Rabbi Zera, because he held that the Gemara in Yud Zayin is against this, and we pass it like the Gemara in Yud Zayin, meaning Enochinami, it's a steer in the two Gemaras. We assume the sides of the knife do touch the simanim, and therefore in this case, itaka would be aser, it would not be kosher. Second approach in Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Rush, they quote the sheet of Rabbeinu Yonah, that we paskin like Rabbi Zera, but there's a difference between libun and pegima. There's a difference between an overheated knife and a knife that has a pegima. A pegima could stick out a little bit. It might be able to grab something that's at a little bit of a distance. Whereas heat, it's only going to affect that which actually touches it. So mirvach ravach, it does spread out. The simanim spread out as you cut it, but not very far. They spread out enough that the heat is not going to burn them, but they don't spread out enough that a pegima is not going to catch them, and that's why both Gemaras might be correct. Third shita I think also quoted by those Rishonim, is that you could be mechalik between when you know that the knife is meluban, that the knife is heated up, and you're therefore being careful not to tilt it at all. But if you don't check the knife for pegimos, so you're assuming your knife doesn't have any pegimos, so you're not going to be as careful not to tilt it, and therefore the pegima might be tilted to the side and might catch on, even though it's mirvach ravach, even though the simanim move a little bit away. But if you tilt the knife just so slightly, it could cause a problem. So that's the issue of whether you know about it or you don't know about it. That's why the Gemara said over here that libein sakin v'shachat ba. It's not shachat b'sakin melubenes, but you yourself were malabin the sakin. You knew that it was meluban, and therefore you're being very careful not to tilt it. That's why it's going to be kosher. If you weren't being so careful, it wouldn't be kosher. Fourth sheet is the Ravid. The Ravid said it's dafka b'dieved that we're so mech over here that the beis hashchit is mirvach ravach. That's why it says shchitaso ksheira b'dieved. It doesn't say that mutter lishchot b'sakin melubenes, that you're allowed to shecht with the sakin melubenes. The Gemara over there on Dafid Zayin is going to talk about checking the knife in advance. That's a lechadchila dikadin. That lechadchila you need to check it in advance. But b'dieved, if you didn't, it's still going to be kosher. If you didn't check the sides of the knife, it's still going to be kosher. And that's what our Gemara, that the sides of the knife are what's heated up, it would still be kosher. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shechita Perek Aleph Halacha Chav Beis, Shechitaso Psula over here. Sounds like he holds like the Balamar, that we paskin like that Gemara, and it's against this Gemara, and this Gemara is rejected the Halacha. However, there are editions of the Rambam where we have Shechitaso Ksheira in the words of the Rambam. So the Achronim will discuss it. In Shulchan Aruch, Yardea Simites, Sif Aleph, the Mechaber Paskins, Shechitaso Psula, like the Pashut reading of the Rambam, like the Rif, as quoted by the Balamar, as understood by the Balamar. And then he says v'yesh machshirin, but he quotes that there are those that say that it's kosher, and the Rama says, but even if you hold that it's kosher, that's only if you knew that it was heated and you were therefore careful not to tilt it. Only then is it going to be kosher. The Shach and the Taz think we should be machmir and say that it's always possible, like the first shita in Shulchan Aruch, like the shita of Rambam. So that is
It seems like unnecessary tzar. I mean, you're not getting any benefit from heating it up. You're only potentially
cause. Yeah, but we're talking about the kashrus of the shechita. Tzar b'alei chayim is not going to affect the kashrus of the shechita. I'm not sure if it is unnecessary. I mean, it will kill it instantly anyway. It takes a second regardless. So I don't know. And even if it is, that shouldn't affect the kashrus of the shechita. Might affect whether the chachila you're allowed to do it, but it shouldn't affect the kashrus of the shechita. In the chidushim of the Chassam Sofer, he has a very humorous comment. He quotes that he was by the hafla by his rebbe for a perm suda. Chassam Sofer had two rebbeim, the hafla and Rav Nosson Adler, and he said the hafla said at the sudas purim that this comment could have only been made by Rabbi Zeira, that chiduda kadum lilibuna. How do you know what happens, whether the sharpness or the heat, what gets what? So he says, we know the Gemara Megillah, that Rabbi Zeira was sitting at a Purim Suda with Rabbah, come Rabbah v'shachte the Rabbi Zeira. So they're at a Purim Suda, some of the knives were hot, they were just cutting hot meat, and Rabbah got up and shachted Rabbi Zeira. So from experience, Rabbi Zeira knew what he felt. He knew whether it was the sharpness of the knife or whether it was the heat of the knife. So it was a joke, it was a Purim Taira, but the Chassam Sofer says that he comes and tries to learn some halacha out of it, because he says, the Rebbe said something, you can't just make it into a joke, there's got to be some halacha to learn from it. Okay, maybe yeah, maybe no. Now the what's called libun? We said if the knife is very very hot, so then it's going to be pasul according to the halacha, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Shach and Taz. It's going to be pasul against Rabbi Zeira. So how hot is hot? So this is machlokas in the Achronim. How hot is hot? The Crazy writes that it has to be hot enough that it could burn straw. That if you put straw on the knife, it would actually burn. It has to be very, very hot. However, the Simla Chadasha says the Shir Libun is Yatzel Ledespo, which is obviously not all that hot. It's a much, much lower level of heat. The Orach HaShulchan says that the Shir is that Nitzotzos Nitazne Menu, that sparks are flying from it, which is obviously, again, a very strong level of heat. And he says it's not that the Nitzotzos are burning the simanim before the Gemar Shechita, but it's the Nitzotzos are Nitazim, and that's the simon of how hot the knife actually is. So the Dark Yeshiva just points out that even if you're going to be machmir, like the Simla Chadasha, that Yad Soledispo was had enough to be considered to burn the Simanim, he says, don't be machmir in the Shir Yad Soledispo. There are a million different shitas in how far Yad Soledispo is. The Linyan Shabbos, we're always machmir in Yad Soledispo. So you have to be machmir within the Shir of Yad Soledispo. Okay, so now the Gemara raises the Shaila relating to Tzaraas, which again has nothing to do with us, other than the fact that we're going to use Rabbi Zeira to try to answer it. We're going to reject it, but we're going to use him to try to answer it. Let's say you boil up a spit, a metal spit, and then you hit somebody with it. So right on that area where he's bruised and burnt, because you hit him hard with a boiling metal object, so he's bruised and burnt, a negat tzara'as develops there. So in general, the halachas of tzaraas are different depending on what kind of skin the tzaraas grows on. Whether it grows on burnt skin, on bruised skin, on clear skin, on the skin of your head, the skin of your body. There are different halachas of tzaraas depending on what kind of skin it grows on. So if tzaraas grows there, is that considered to be growing on a burn or growing on a bruise? Which is it? So Lamai Nafkamina says, well, what difference does it make? Because the halachas of a burn and a bruise happen to be the same. Even though it does make a difference what kind of skin tzaraas grows on, but burns and bruises have the same halacha. L'chadetanya, like we have in the Braisa, Shchin u'michva mitamin b'shvua echad b'shnei simanim, b'seir lovim b'pisyon. That Shchin and michva, both a case of a bruise and a case of a burn, it will become tamei after 1 week if one of two things happens to the nega. Whenever there's a nega, we always close it up for a week and say, okay, come back in a week and we'll see what happens. So we don't declare tuma right away. So after 1 week, it can become tamei vadai with one of two possibilities. Either a white hair grows in it, or pisyon, or it spreads. Then it will become tamei vadai. Now the halach is, what's unique about a burn and a bruise is that if neither of those things happen, instead of closing it up for another week and saying, sending the person away for another week and saying, we'll reevaluate, we just immediately declare tahar. So burn and bruise is somewhat makel, we're somewhat makel with that, in the sense that we could declare tahar after 1 week as well. As the Tosus writes over here, kach dino de besov shavua rishon mitamei impasa o afil lo pasa mitamei kika seyo Lavan. One of these two things happens after 1 week, will become tamei. And even initially, when you analyze it, if it had a white hair, it would be tamei. Tahar. Even though it didn't weaken in any way, if neither of these two things happened after 1 week, it's immediately declared tahar. And that is unique, because avol shar negayim by hesker pam shenis. All other negayim, if nothing happened after 1 week, you would need to close it up for another week and see what happens. But Tosfos points out, v'alashon k'tzas kasha, the language that the Braisa uses to describe this halacha, what's the real chiddush here? The real chiddush is not that it's tamei after 1 week, the real chiddush is that it might be tahar after 1 week, is that if nothing spreads, nothing, no white hair grows, that it could be tahar definitively, and you're not, the real chiddush is the kula, it's not a chumra here. So he says, it's a little strange that we use the lashon of mitamim. It should have said, ala mitarim, shemkin b'shar negoim debo esker. It should have emphasized the kula. So Tosfos says, yeah, but that's what it's emphasizing, that it's only mitamei with the shnei simanim, implying that it's tahar without the shnei simanim. That's what it really means to emphasize. But anyway, that's the halacha is the same, both by a bruise and a boil. V'lam achilkan akasuv, why does the Torah describe them as two different negayim? Lom ashen mitstarfim zeh mzeh. The Torah only describes them as different negayim to tell you that if you have a negatras has to be the size of a gris, about the size of a penny. So if you have a half of gris size of a burn tzara'as and half a grist size of a bruise tzara'as, so they're not mitzarif with each other. That's the only halacha that makes them different from each other. Vatanya, Vitanya, we have a brisa, another brisa that we need to clarify this issue. Ezu shchin vezu michve loka be'etz be'evan be'gefes be'chami tveria be'kolda v'shaloba machmas ha'or lasuy even me'yikaro zeu shchin. A bruise is defined as if you were hit by anything, even if it's somewhat hot, but if it's not hot from fire, then it's going to be called, even if it's a lead that comes straight, that has just been mined and is therefore naturally hot, but it hits a person, that is going to be considered a bruise as long as it has not been heated by fire. Ve'ezu michva, what's a michva? What's a boil? Nichva begacheles, if with hot coals, beremets with hot ashes, besid rosech, begafsis rosech, with different types of boiling lime, ubekol dover abba machmasa'or, and anything that comes as a result of fire, that has been boiled by fire, lasuyi chamea'or, even hot water that's been heated up by fire, zui michva. That's going to be a boil, even though there may have been some impact when you were hit by it as well, and it may have bruised a little bit. It's going to be considered a boil when it's something that was burnt by fire. V'tanya, we have a brisa. Shchinu michva im shchin kadum michva batal michva shchin. The halacha by tzara'as is, let's say you were bruised and boiled at the same time. So if the bruise came first, then the boil comes and the and outweighs the bruise. Meaning, if it started as a bruise and then you were burnt, the burn is what's dominant, and we view it as a burn. V'michva kadamis l'shchin. If the burn was first and then you were bruised, batal shchinas hamichva. Then we treat it like a bruise. Meaning, we go after the last thing that happened in Hilchos Tzaras, the opposite of what we're trying to say in Hilchos Shchita, right? By Shchita, if it burns before it cuts, obviously the animal is no good. It's a trefa. If it cuts before it burns, the animal is good. By Tzaras, we always follow the last thing as the ikar. So, frankly, Gemara v'hacha hechidami kigon dahavi bechatzi gris. So, what's the case where we need to know whether it's a burn or a bruise? Kigon dahavi bechatzi gris shchin meikara. Let's say you originally had a half of a gris size of a bruise, the libein shvud, and then someone heated up a metal rod, vihikabo, and hit him with the metal rod, vinafak bechatzi gris acher, and right there where he hit him became another chatzi gris. So how do you view that? That's why we need to know this halacha. My, what's the din? Chavata kadem vasi havlum vatale l'chavata? Do we assume that the impact came first and the heat then came afterwards and is therefore mevatel the impact, mevatel the bruise, and we treat it like a burn, vavle shchinu michva, and therefore your two halves of a gris are two different negaim, because as we said, the only difference between them is that they're not mitstarif with each other. So you have a half a gris of a shchin and a half of a gris of a michva, half a gris of a bruise, half a gris of a burn, velo mitstarif, and they're not mitstarif to each other, and therefore it's not a mitzora. O dilmor, maybe Havla kadim, the heat actually came first, vasi chavatu mevatale lahavla, and the impact came and was mevatel the heat, vavle shchinu shchinu mitzarif, and therefore your two half grisen are both burns, and they are both bruises, and therefore it's going to be considered a mitzora. The person is going to be considered a mitzora. So that was the shaila. So again, the shaila was, you burn up a boiling piece of metal, and you hit the guy with that piece of metal, and tzaras grows on that spot. What do we treat it as? Do we treat it as shchin? Do we treat it as a burn, or do we treat it as a bruise? So the Gemara is going to try to bring two rayas. The first one from our halacha of Rabbi Zeira Mashmuel legabe shchita. So Tashma, raya number one, Dam Rabbi Zeira Mashmuel, libein sakin v'shachat ba, shchita suk sheira. If you boil up a knife and you shecht with that knife, you heat up a knife with fire and you shecht with that knife, the shchita is kosher. Why? Chiduda called him Lilibuna. We assume the sharpness is what gets him before the heat gets him. Alma chavata kadim. So you see that when there's impact with something that's boiling hot, the impact is felt before the heat is felt. So too, when you take this boiling spit and you hit the guy, we can assume it's a bruise first, and then the burn, and therefore legabe tzara'as, it would have a din of a burn, because whatever comes second bites a ra'as. But in terms of mitzius, what comes first is the bruise. So by the shchita, the bruise what comes first, the cutting comes first, and therefore it's kasher for the shchita, because by the shchita we look at what comes first. By the tzaras, yes, the bruise comes first, and therefore we look at it as a burn, because we follow what comes second. So says Gemara, no, it's not a raya at all. There's a difference between a bruise and a cut. Chidud shiny. When we're talking about shchit, we're talking about a very sharp edge. So yes, the sharpness is what's going to get the animal before the heat gets the animal. But if you were to take a metal rod that's boiling hot and beat somebody with it, so there's no sharpness to it, so then it could be that the heat comes before the bruising. So therefore, that's not a good raya. Tashma, the Gemara tries another raya. It's also not going to work. Libein shvud vihikabo. If you heat up a spit, a metal rod, and you hit the guy with it, nidon mishum michvas eish al machavata kadam. We treat it like a burn. So it seems like the impact comes first, because again, the halachas by tzaras are that the whatever comes second is going to be the tzaras status. So don't you see over there clearly the bruising comes first and then the burning? So it says no, hasam nami de barzi mivras dahinu chidud. Well, no, maybe that case was you boiled up a spit and didn't hit the guy with it, you stabbed the guy with it. The spit has a pointy edge to it, so maybe over there also it's a sharp edge, and that's why the cutting comes before the burning. But in a case where you beat the guy with it, where you just hit the guy with it, then maybe the burning would come before the cutting. Now the fact that the Gemara asked l'may nafkamina whether it has a din of a bruise or a din of a burn, the Rosh Yosef points out that this is a raya to the Shitas HaRambam in Tumas Mitzora, Tumas Tzras, in Perikei Halach Vav, that if you don't know whether it's a Shechin or a Michveh, that you're still Tamei. Meaning, if you know that you have a Neged Tzras there, you're just not sure whether it's Shechin or Michveh, you're still Tamei. The Rash in Negoim holds that, no, you have to be Vadai. It could be either one, but you have to know which one it is. The Rash in Negoim, Perik Tes Mishnah Beis, if you're not sure which one it is, you're completely Tahar. So the fact that Gemara asks the Mai Nafkamina whether it's one or the other, so maybe Nafkamina is, because if I don't know the answer to that question, it's tahar. So that's the nafkamina. The fact that the Gemara asks the my nafkamina is a raya to the Shitas HaRambam, that you don't need to know which one it is in order for it to be tamei. It's going to be tamei either way. Okay. One other point. We said that if something was heated bechamei teveria, we consider that something that's not machmas ha'or. Actually, bechamin. We said that lasuye chamin. I'm sorry. The Gemara had said that ezu shkin ve'ezu michva. So if it's be'etz begefes or bechamei teveria, that's considered something that's not heated by fire. Right? Says Tosfos, Afilu Rabbi Yossi, the Chashvle Perakira, Toldo Sa'ar. In Misach HaShabbos, we discuss what's called Toldo Sa'ar and what's not. Because the halacha, Legabe Bishl B'Shabbos, makes a big difference whether something was heated by fire or, let's say, Toldo Schama, something that was only heated by the sun. So Rabbi Yossi holds that Chamei Tveri is called Toldo Sa'ar. Why? Mishum Demichlefa Pischa de Gehenim. Because it gets heated by passing by the entranceway to Gehenim. That's how he understands it. So Shema Kan. But maybe over here he would still admit that it's considered a shchin, it's considered a bruise and not a burn. Because that's not a fire, that's a human, man-made fire, it's a heavenly-made fire. Maybe legabe tzaraas, it would be considered a bruise, not a boil, because it would have to be, in order for it to be a bruise, not a burn, because in order for it to be a burn, it would have to be something that was made by a man-made fire. Fine, now we move on to the real ikar of this stuff. Amar of Nachum, Amar of Baravua. Sakin shel avodos kochavim. If you have a knife of avodah zarah, a knife that was used for avodah zarah, and therefore it's aser bahana'a. So mutu lishchot, but you're allowed to shecht with it, va'aser lachtuch ba'basar, but you're not allowed to cut meat with it. If you have already slaughtered meat, you're not allowed to cut up the meat with it. So mutu lishchot ba'mekalkelhu. The reason you're allowed to shecht with it is because it's actually a destructive act. Rashi points out, while an animal is alive, an animal has many more uses than when an animal is dead. So by you shechting, you're taking away some of the uses of the animal. You can get a lot more money for a live animal than you can for the dead animal. Because a live animal could be made, the gadol vlados, to have more offspring, lecharisha, to use for plowing, ulachila, you could also use it to kill and have meat from it. But a dead animal, your options are obviously very limited. So when you shecht it, it's considered mekalkel. It's not called that you're getting anah, because you're going backwards. You're devaluing the animal by shechting it. Fractosos, so why are you chayev on Shabbos for shechting? Isn't it mekalkel? So shouldn't it be mekalkel? You should be pater. How could you be chayiv? So Tosfos asks the question. We say, no, it's considered misakein legabe Shabbos, because at least it's not Evir Minachai anymore. Now it's not, you took away the Yisr of Evir Minachai. Granted, you were more destructive than you were productive, but since you were mildly productive, that counts as misakein legabe Shabbos. So why? So it tells us, Shiny Shabbos, the Melechas Machshavas Asra Torah. The gedder of Hilcha Shabbos is that as long as there was a mindful, purposeful act, and you accomplished some positive purpose, That is a violation of Hilchos Shabbos, of Melacha on Shabbos. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, it's Nisr Hana'ah. Hana'ah is defined as what's the sum at the end, what's the net result. Is it a net positive or a net negative? That's the way we're magdir by Avodah Zarah. By Shabbos, we're magdir based on did you accomplish some purposeful act? Even if it was mostly negative, but there was something in the positive, there was some purposeful act that was accomplished, that would be enough to be chayiv for Hilchos Shabbos. Now it happens to be Tosfos Maseches Shabbos asks the same kasha, and he seems to have a slightly different emphasis on the Teretz. In the Teretz, he says the Isra of Avodah Zarah is lo yidbak biyadcha me'uma min acherim, and it's not called nena since the kilkul is yeser al atikun. Meaning, whereas over here he emphasizes the uniqueness of Melacha Shabbos, that it's Melachas Machshavas, and therefore the tikun is just a little bit. That's Melachas Machshavas. Over there, he emphasizes the uniqueness of Avodah Zarah, the Yisra Avodah Zarah, lo yidbak biyadcha me'uma, that you can't have any positive that comes out of it. So the question is, what's the real din? Is it a real uniqueness in Hilchos Shabbos, but anywhere else it's going to be considered something negative? Or is it a uniqueness in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, but anywhere else it's going to be considered something positive? So the Taz thinks that these two Teirutzim and Tosos disagree with each other. And what the Tosos here and the Tosos in Shabbos disagree with each other. That's the Taz in Yardaya Sim Reish Chaf Aleph. However, the Nikudas HaKesef on the spot is not so convinced that there are different answers at all. It seems that the Rashba over here in his Chidushim assumes that the two answers of Tosos are also the same, that it's really one and the same. Now, in the Kashuk Lover, in his Tshuvas, in the Eretz Tzvi, in Simon, not sure what Simon, in the Sharmin Tzion Balacha quotes, Kuf Reish Beis. There's no such letter, Kuf Reish Beis. I don't know, Shin Beis, maybe he doesn't want to, I don't know. So I have to look it up. But in the Sharm Mitzvah Balach, he quotes from the Kashuk Lover's Tshuvas that they asked him that according to Tosfos, that a tikkun porta is considered melachas machshavas, just a slight tikkun is considered melachas machshavas, because he had kavanah for that. There is a Gemara in Chagigah where the Gemara says that if you're chofer guma venu tzorach el lafara, that if you dig a hole and all you need is the dirt, you're putter. Even if you own melachah shein shrich l'guf chayiv, you're potter because it's mekalkel, because you have a hole in your field now, and that's a kilkel in the field, since you only needed the dirt. But wait a second, if all you needed was the dirt, and you're mechavin for the dirt, according to the Gedder of Tosos, you have a tikkun porta. You got what you wanted. So the Kashuk Lover is mechalek. Now, the tikkun porta has to be in the act that you did, in the actual digging itself. The fact that you have dirt, that's a tikkun porta that's external. Over here by the shechita, there is a tikkun porta in the fact that you took away the din of Eivor Menachai within the shechita itself. So it has to be within the actual malacha. Okay, let's go weiter. So why is it usher to cut meat with it? So masakinu, because cutting meat with it is a definite tikkun. You have meat and you want to eat it, it needs to be cut. Sometimes even when you shecht it, it's going to be aser because it's going to be called hana'a b'msukenes, when the animal was dangerously ill already, and therefore it's only you have to shecht it quickly, otherwise it's just going to die and then it will be useless. So in that case, then shechita is obviously a tikkun. And umchatech mutter, sometimes cutting it is going to be mutter because cutting it's actually destructive. Ba'atmi dekaimen l'kurvina. Now let's say you have a nice piece of steak that you could serve to someone as a chaticha ruy l'skabed, and then you cut it up into tiny little pieces like you would give a small child. So that's a kilkel in the steak, because now the steak has much less use than it had before. When you have a huge side of beef and you need to cut it up into its proper cuts to serve it, so that's a tikkun. But when you're cutting into little tiny pieces where you're going to ruin it, the potential to serve it properly, then that's a kilkel. So frankly, Marv, wait a second. What was all this about? You use a sakin that was used for Avodah Zarah. So we're discussing hana, not hana. What about the fact that the knife is treif? Isn't there fats of Isser on the knife itself? How about the fact that the knife has Isser on it? Answers Gemara b'chadasha. It's a brand new knife. In fact, Gemara chadasha, ben Rabbi Shimon, ben Rabbi Kiva, m'sham she'avod z'chavim, and m'sham she'avod z'chavim, ein asunat she'avdu. Well, then how's it a knife of Avodah Zarah if it was never used? If it was chadasha, it was never used, then it's only m'sham she'avod z'chavim that were never used, which don't have an Isser on it to begin with. So the whole discussion doesn't get off the ground. So the Gemara has two possibilities. Ibai same with the possibility of the level of it could be that we're talking about where the knife was used for Avodah Zarah to chop wood for Avodah Zarah. It was never used on an animal of Avodah Zarah, so it doesn't have any shamnunis, any actual taste, or any actual mamashos of the animal of Avodah Zarah on the knife. Ibai same be shana shalibna ba'ar. Or we're talking about an old knife, but you kashered it. You put it in fire, and when you're malabin ba'or, that makes it kasher. Now, Frek Tosfos on Amud Aleph, the whole Tosfos, major Tosfos, very important Tosfos over here. Tosfos says, wait a second, sounds like to kasher a knife you need libun. Yet the Tosefta Maseches Avodah Zarah also sounds that way. It says shvudim and askalos and sakinim you need libun, but there's a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed where it sounds like all you need to do to kasher a knife is hagala. Libun means that you burn it in fire directly. That's libun. Hagala is you just put it in boiling water. So it sounds from the Gemara Pesachim that hani sakini de pischa hechi avdinu luhum maskinan hilchse idi v'idi berotchin. Says all you need to do is put it in boiling water. So Rabbeinu Tam has two terutzim, very critical. One terut says Rabbeinu Tam, maybe chametz is different because hetera bala. Chametz is different because chametz when it's balaya, when it's nivla in the knife, it's heter. Chametz the rest of the year is mutter. It's only aser on Pesach. So that's considered hetera bala, and therefore more makel with the way that you can kasher the knife. Whereas over here we're talking about avodah zarah, which is obviously aser the whole year, so that's going to be isura bala. The other teretz of Rabbeinu Tam a little further in Tosfos is that over here and in the Tosefta we're talking about sakinim gedolim shetzolim ben basar. Over here we're not just talking about knives that they use to cut meat with; they actually use the knives to stick meat on the knife and roast the meat on the knife. So it was used al yidei or any knife, any kli that's used al yidei or requires libun. Whereas over there in Pesachim we were talking about where it wasn't solim babasar, where you would just use it like a regular knife, and therefore all it would require is hagala. There is a halach in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach in Taf Mem Zayin Sif Dalid where the Shulchan Aruch quotes two deos. Whether you say that chametz that's batel b'shishim before Pesach is chozer v'neir b'Pesach leser b'mashu, meaning let's say I had a mashu chametz fall in something before Pesach. So before Pesach is batel b'shishim. It's not. There's no issur mashu chametz. Then Pesach comes. So there's a mashu chametz in there. Do you assume that right now we still view that mashu chametz as if it's significant or no? It was batel before Pesach. Let it stay batel. The rush in Pesachim, second parak of Pesachim, Simon Hay writes a chametz that's in this battle before Pesach is not chozer v'neir; it's battle, it remains battle forever. The Rambam is machmir. So the question is, how can just the fact that Pesach comes cause something to be chozer v'neir? Bishlami, you add something in, you add a little more chametz, so it's mitzdarif with chametz that's already there; it's chozer v'neir. You have such a concept, but you didn't do anything; just waited. How can it be chozer v'neir? So if Salvech explains Shir Erav, page Shin Yud, that what seems to be is Tully in these 2 days of Tosos over here in Chulin. Tosos first answers B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam that Chametz is called Hetera Bala, and therefore it's Sagi Ba'agala. All you need to do is do Agala. Then why does he give a second answer? What was wrong with that first answer? Elamai, the second answer must hold that it doesn't have a din of Hetera Bala. The Chametz Lefnei Pesach is called Isura Bala. Oh, so now if that's the case, we can understand very well why the Rambam paskins that chametz that's mixed in, that's batel b'shishim before Pesach, is chozer v'neir and is aser mashu on Pesach, because the chametz never became batel before Pesach. The halach of bittel is you need two competing forces. Isser can become batel in heter. Heter doesn't become batel in heter. Heter and heter are one and the same. So if chametz before Pesach is hetera bala, ironically, because it's heter, it doesn't become batel. Memela, the first time you look at the taroves is when? On Pesach! And on Pesach you say, okay, let's see, is there enough to be battle? No, mashu chametz causes an isra on Pesach. And that's where the Rambam gets his chumra from. The Rush is mekel, because the Rush views chametz lefnei Pesach as isura bala. So ironically, because of its chumra, that it's considered isur even before Pesach, it was able to become batel before Pesach, so now it's not going to be chozer v'neir and be reevaluated when Pesach comes. That's one important nekuda of Tosos, whether chametz lefnei Pesach is isura bala or hetera bala. Then another very critical nekuda in Tosfos, Tosos raises the question, v'asakinim shon v'shon lochem novdei chavim, hayomer ari ben Rav Meir, the Rivam says that if you buy an old knife from a guy, shetzrichen libun. You need libun. You need to burn it in fire. Mipnei shederach of the chavim l'sakin ben ner shedolik ben chelev v'gam ahapchen ben basar gabichalim l'chotchen. Sometimes when you're barbecuing, if you don't have your normal barbecue utensils, you just take a knife and flip the meat with it or something. So you have to worry that the guy used it al yidei ha'or. So it requires libun. Rabbi Natama Yomer kim de'ein ikar tashmishon l'kach lo cheshin dil mesrami v'avirachi. Rabbi Natama said, nah, primarily it wasn't used for with with fire. It may have been once in a while used with fire. Primarily, it wasn't, and therefore you could do agala. You don't need libun. Even if it was once in a while used with fire, Rabbi Natan writes, but still, the most of the time it was used in a normal way that was not with fire, and therefore hagala would suffice. That is the shita of Rabbi Natan. So this is also a very critical shita. Do we follow Rov Tashmisho, or do we follow, do we look for the worst it was ever used with? If you follow Rov Tashmisho, so then Hagala would be good enough. If you don't, then you would have to go with the worst it was ever used with. This comes up, the Mechaber in Simtaf Nunal of Sivchavav in Aruch Chaim, in Hilchos Pesach, writes that clay zuchuches, glass kalim, don't need hechsher because they're not balea even b'chamin. But the Ramah says that we're machmilin in Pesach, and we say that clay zuchuches have a din of a clay cheres, that they're balea, but they're not polate. They are the worst kind of kli, that they can be balea iser, but you can never kasher the iser out of them. So therefore, you can never be machsher clay zuchuches that were used for drinking. Unless you do milu v'iroi for 3 days in like a klei cheres that's belua with yai nesach, the Magen Avraham says b'diavad hagala would be good enough. So the question is, how can it help shriya b'tzonin? How can you soak it in cold water for klei zechuches? Sometimes the klei zechuches are used for hot. So how does soaking it in cold help? So that might depend on this machlokas rishonim. If primarily the klei zechuches are used for cold, so then maybe the derech to be machshirit, the way to kasher it is through cold. Primarily, it's used for hot. So then, if you hold that we don't follow what primarily it's used for, then cold shouldn't be good enough. Then you should need to do some sort of hagala to use hot water to kasher it. So that's again this day of Rabbeinu Tam that we follow primary usage, major chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Itmar, right? I think that's what we're up to. Itmar, hashochet b'sakin shel dirchavim. If you shecht with a knife that belonged to a guy, we're not talking about avodah zarah now. Just a knife that belonged to a guy, and guyim are assumed not to keep kosher, right? So Rav Amar Kolef, Rav Bar Chana Amar Madiach. So Rav says you have to peel away that area of the meat that you shechted with, that you cut, and Rav Bar Chana says Madiach that you need to rinse it in water just to rub off whatever be'en might have gotten onto that area. So what are they arguing about? The Gemara is going to give three explanations of what this machlokas might be about. So lema ba'akam iflgi, the marsav beis hashkita tzonin, marsav beis hashkita roteach. One possibility is that they're arguing whether the beis hashkita, the area of the animal where you shecht, is hot or is it cold? Meaning, does it have the ability to be balea anything, in which case you have to peel, you have to cut away that area because it was nivla with iser, or do we assume it's cold and therefore you just got to rinse off whatever was there, but you don't need to cut anything away? So says Gemara, look, maybe that's not what they're arguing about. Second possibility, what they're arguing about. Maybe everyone agrees the beis hashchita is boiling. Mandiam or kolef shapir, the one that says that you need to peel away. Good, that works out well. Mandiam madiach, I did the 3D simanim lafuki dam lo bali. But the one that says that all you need to do is rinse it away, even though it's very hot there, the assumption is that the meat around the area of the neck is not going to be balea because it's too busy squirting out blood. When it's too busy squirting out blood, it's not going to take in any of the tam from the knife. But normally, heat associated with the knife, it will draw in some of the time. It's just that this is very busy squirting out the blood. Ikadamri, third day, dukuliyama beis hashkita tzonin. Everyone holds a beis hashkita as cold. Mandiyamr madiach shaper, so the one that says you rinse it off, that's great. Mandiyamr kolef, the one that says you need to peel away about an inch from the beis hashkita, agav duchka desakina bala. We assume that the pressure of the knife, normally when something hot touches, when a kli just touches a cold area, normally there aren't going to be any bleeds. But over here, there's duchka de sakina. The pressure of the knife causes that area to be balea, and therefore you need to cut away that area. Three possibilities of what the machlokas is about. So Tosfos discusses. So Rashi, what are we paskin over here? So Rashi writes, kiven delivsik hilchsavi surah daraisuhu avdin l'chumra. Since we don't paskin anything, we have 3 days. What they're arguing about, and we have no idea. The Gemara doesn't paskin at the end. You have to go l'chumra because it's nisur daraisa. Tekaimlum shel Torah halachachar amachmir umikal makom lechadchila lo yishchot da shochet kamer. And for sure, you're not allowed to shecht with a non-kosher knife. knife, because the way it was formulated was ha-shochet. If you shechted, so then there's a discussion what you have to do. But for sure you're not allowed to shecht with a non-kosher knife and then just rely on being kolef. But if you did shecht with a non-kosher knife, we're always going to be machmer and assume that you need to be kolef, that you need to peel away that area. Tosos writes that the Rivam, Rabbeinu Yisro bar Meir, hayimatzruch mitol kach lach shenakra chelev min abeima lachsur v'lichlof b'kala makomos. What if you're cutting out chelev from the behemoth? It's not where you're actually shechting. So he says you need klipa over there also, because you have to be machmir for the shita, that it has nothing to do with the heat of the Beis HaShechita, that even if the Beis HaShechita is cold, the third shita held, duchka de sakina alone, pressure of the knife alone, even when it's purely cold, is going to cause tam to transfer from the knife into the surrounding meat. So he says when you're cutting away the chelev from the meat, so the 1 inch around where the knife touched is also going to be, you also have to be machmir to cut around that area. However, he says, that's not the minhag. He says, Yesh limtzo tam ala minhag shalanu, shenagu lahakel. We need to come up with a good reason why we're makel. V'dilma beis hashchita dafka shoroteach ktsas. Maybe you can say that even this third shita that says the duchka d'sakina, that if the beis hashchita is cold, but the pressure of the knife is enough to transfer tam. What do you mean beis hashchita is cold? Feel it. It's not cold. No, but the point is, it's not hot enough to affect a normal transference of tam. But maybe it's warm enough that the combination of the duchka d'sakina with the slight warmth of the beis hashchita is enough to transfer tam. But when you're mamish cutting things that are cold, maybe even this third day it would hold that duchka d'sakina doesn't really accomplish anything. Okay, weiter. Sakin trefa, this is more important stuff, we just got to keep moving here. Sakin trefa, let's say you have a knife that was used to cut an animal. The animal turned out to be a trefa. So it turned out that the knife has little bits of, came into contact with the trefa. So pligi b'raviach v'ravina. So it's a machlokas raviach v'ravina. Chanam b'chamin v'chanam b'tzonein. How do you wash off that knife to be able to use it again? So one says you need to wash it off in boiling hot water. The other one says no, you can just clean it off in cold water. V'hilchsa afilu b'tzonein. The halachas, you can even clean it off in cold water. V'yika b'lisa the parsa l'b'chbrei lo tzarech. Not only that, if you don't even have water, if you just have a good hard cloth, a good hard rag to wipe it off with, that would be fine as well. The assumption is that by a sakin, a knife that was kosher, that came in contact with an animal, we are less machmir than a knife that wasn't kosher, that was used on a kosher animal. Meaning when the knife wasn't kosher, the knife already had blios of iser. We assume it's easier, Rashi points out, it's easier for blios of iser to go from a knife into the meat than it is to go from the meat into the knife. And that's why the sakin shel trefa were much more makel with. The one that says that you have to wash it off in hot. Why? It's because it's balea iser, right? We assume the iser of the trefa animal went into the knife. Well, then the teranami balea ever menachai. Anytime you shecht any animal, doesn't the knife get blios of ever menachai from the animal? Because after all, every animal is ever menachai before you shecht in rov simanim. So aren't there blios of ever menachai? Says where no emas balea luchichaima emas kachaima luchigam reshchita. He shaita hatera. The blios only start when the beis hashchita gets hot. The beis hashchita only gets hot at the end of the shchita. By the end of the shchita, it's not ever menachai anymore. It's only ever menachai at the beginning of the shchita. Amar Rabbi Dor Merav. The Gemara is going to have three statements of Rabbi Dor Merav. We're not going to get to all three today, and then a couple more from Rabbi Dor Shmuel. Amar Rabbi Dor Merav. Hatabak tzarek shlosha sekirin. A good shochet needs three knives. Achas shochet ba, one to shecht with, v'achas shemechatik ba'basar, one to chop the meat with, v'achas shemechatik ba'chalav, and one to cut the chalav with. So Frank Gemara v'liskalei chad v'lichta ba'basar v'had v'lichta. Why doesn't he just use one, cut the meat first, and then cut the chelev? I mean, the only problem is that the chelev is going to get onto the meat, and that's going to be a problem. We just cut the meat first, then cut the chelev, and then you can rinse it off in hot water afterwards, and before you use it again. Says Marno, we're afraid you're going to reverse the order if you use the same knife. But you might just confuse the knives for each other. Use the wrong knife for the wrong thing. Now, if you have to have two knives, you're going to make a simen on one of the knives to know which one is which. So therefore, you're not going to come to do that. Second statement of Rabbi Dor Merav, he needs two kelim of water to rinse off with. One that he rinses off the meat with, and one that he rinses off the chalav with. Why can't he have one bowl of water that he rinses things with, first rinse the meat and then rinse the chalev, and you won't have anything to worry about the chalev getting onto the meat? We're afraid he's going to reverse it. Granted, if he has two, he might confuse the two for each other. Again, since we're requiring two separate bowls of water, we assume that there's going to be some sort of hecker that he makes in one of them to make sure. Rashi points out the bowls of water are cold, but still there's actual chalev in there. If you put kosher meat in it, the chalev is going to adhere to the basar, even though it's cold. Okay, we'll pick up with Amar HaMeimer tomorrow.